华盛顿加强总统就职维安准备。拜登政府将首先关注新冠危机救助工作。副总统彭斯在政权交接前慰问军队。1月18号星期一，欢迎收看《美国观察》，我是许湘云。新闻头条来关注白宫。星期三是美国总统就职典礼，华盛顿地区加强维安措施，同时特朗普政府与拜登团队也进行交接。下面请美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅来介绍详细情况。耀毅。
在当选总统拜登1月20日宣誓就职的庆典临近之际，美国各州首府加强了安全措施，因为联邦调查局在网上发现并跟踪到潜在武装抗议的呼吁。
And the reason I use the word potential is because one of the real challenges in this space, is trying to distinguish what's aspirational versus what's intentional.
联邦调查局已识别270多名嫌疑人，并逮捕了100多人。他们与1月6日特朗普支持者流血占领国会大厦事件有关。冲击国会大厦的肇事者因受选举被盗窃等错误的说法鼓动而感到愤怒，目前已确定其中有一些为现任或前任警察或军人。
This is a problem that has been persistent throughout our history, and that is the association of some members of the military and some law enforcement officers with white supremacists and far-right militant groups.
25,000名国民警卫队士兵和其他机构的数千名执法人员将守护美国首都华盛顿。副总统彭斯向美国人保证，就职典礼将是安全的。
The President-elect Joe Biden, Vice President-elect Kamala Harris, are sworn in as the new President and Vice President of the United States.In a manner consistent with our history, with our traditions.
同时仍在继续的调查包括一些国会议员是否通过前一天带人参观国会大厦的方式来协助冲击。
If in fact it is found that members of Congress were accomplices to this insurrection, if they aided and abetted the crime, there may have to be actions taken beyond the Congress.In terms of prosecution.
议员们提出了一项法案，该法案将建立一个由两党组成的委员会来调查这次袭击，并解决关键问题，例如情报是否失败，以及政治官员是否可能介入。
What was the reaction? What was the response? What were critical lessons learned and failures from the response? And what should we take away as a nation in building that, a unity of narrative, a unity of experience, so that we have, a basis on which to come together again.
出于安全方面的考虑，就职典礼演习已经从星期天推迟到了星期一。美国之音记者维达库斯瓦拉报道。
那我们在刚才的报道当中呢，就看到了在发生了国会的这个冲击的事件之后呢，现在整个华盛顿地区都加强了警备，除了已经调来了20,000多名的国民警卫队入境了这个华盛顿之外呢，在华盛顿地区当地的这个警察还有联邦执法单位跟这个国家公园处的警察呢，也都协助来维持秩序。那么刚才呢，我在开车进来华盛顿的时候，就发现了很多的这个华盛顿的连外道路的桥梁呢，都已经这个暂时封闭了，那所以呢必须要绕个远路才能够到白宫附近来。那么在附近呢，大概有非常多的街口都已经用铁围栏还有这个混凝土做的护墙来挡住，不让车辆进出啊。那在有铁围栏的部分呢，甚至还要你去出示这个相关的证件才能够进入。那在现场呢，我们也看到有很多的这个军人跟军车还有警，他们的这个核弹实枪的站在街头来戒备。那么刚才我又问了一个在路边的一位这个安全人员呢，他就告诉我说他就是从外地来的，那所以他其实对华盛顿地区并不是很清楚，但是他就是因为这一次星期三要准备的总统就职大典呢，特别从外地这个调派过来维护华盛顿地区的治安。那 从这个外面呢，如果叫我假设说我今天要进白宫的话呢，至少要经过三个关卡。第一个呢是在这个外面的街道上必须先经过安全检查，第二个呢到白宫外面的行政大楼的这个围栏墙呢还要再出示证件，那么通过这道墙之后呢，最后到了白宫的门口还要再出示证件，并且还要再次的经过安全检查才能够进入白宫。那个就是目前呢现在在白宫外面对安检的这个严谨的程度。那么刚才我们也提到呢，这个特朗普总统他已经说过他不会出席总统就职大典，那么现在呢白宫已经发出了这个声明，表示特朗普总统将会在星期三的早上呢先到安德鲁空军基地，在那里接受呢由国防部来这个发表这个军方的这个欢送的仪式。那特朗普总统有可能会在这个仪式上面呢来发表他任总统里面的最后一次的讲话。那么接下来呢他的这个就飞起飞到佛罗里达去。那么在11点的时候呢会抵达佛罗里达的这个国际机场。那也有可能我们知道特朗普总统他是很这个向来是会直接跟媒体来沟通的，所以也是有可能在抵达佛罗里达的时候11点的时候他还是总统的时候呢也可能会对媒体发表讲话。那副总统彭斯呢，我们看到副总统彭斯跟他这个的妻子 Karen Pence 已经确定了会出席就职典礼，已经在星期四呢他也已经跟这个哈里斯参议员进行的交接。那副总统彭斯呢在这个整个周末都是在参加军方的活动，包括星期六呢他前往加州，那么在加州这个见到海军的时候他特别讲说呢，特朗普政府是美国历史上唯一的一个政府，并没有美国历史上几十年来唯一一个没有让美国再开启新的战争的政府。那么呢副总统彭斯在星期天又是前往纽约来对这个美军讲话。那么在周末的时候呢，我们看到这个当选总统拜登以及哈里斯参议员则是没有任何的活动。此外呢我们也知道将会出席拜登就职典礼的包括奥巴马总统夫妇、克林顿夫妇还有小布什夫妇。那么前总统卡特呢则是因为新冠疫情还有健康的原因将不会出席就职典礼。那么此外呢这个有这个外面的媒体报道说呢，在特朗普总统卸任之前可能还会出更多的特赦行政命令。湘云，
感谢耀毅从白宫发来的连线报道。新一届美国政府的首席经济顾问布莱恩·迪斯近日表示，当选总统拜登将首先关注目前最急迫的新冠危机救助工作，然后再转向更广泛的医疗和基建等方面的复苏措施。
将在民主党新政府中担任国家经济委员会主任的布莱恩·迪斯表示，拜登提出的经济方案是一个双轨计划。拜登名为美国救援计划的1.9万亿美元的经济刺激方案将首先包括向大多数美国人直接发放的1400美元，连同上一轮纾困计划中的600美元，个人补助金将达到2000美元。拜登计划还包括一项旨在实现他竞选活动中提出的名为重建的更美好的长期经济振兴计划。拜登的计划还包括为加强全国性疫苗接种与检测系统提供资金，以及能够使大多数学校在短期内重新开放的必要投资。
We need an immediate rescue package, that finishes the work that Congress took an important step on in December, but left a lot of work undone. So we need to focus immediately again on underwriting the investments necessary to make a nationwide vaccination program work.And, you know, the December jobs report, I think, is a signal for all of us, to take very seriously that the trajectory of the virus and the trajectory of the economy are not where we need to be.
对于本月20日即将就职的拜登政府，美国在欧洲的传统盟国也开始表达他们的期许。法国财政部长勒梅尔在14日表示，解决跨大西洋贸易制裁是他与拜登新政府打交道的首要任务。
And I think that at the top of the agenda will be to clearly say stop to the trade war between the US and Europe. Stop to the sanctions from the US administration on French vineyards, for instance. Stop to the Boeing Airbus case, which is clearly not in the interest of neither the US nor European countries.
勒梅尔还表示，他希望在2月份访问华盛顿。与此同时，人权观察组织执行总裁肯尼斯·罗斯表示， 拜登政府应该把人权作为美国外交政策的基石。
Biden should affirm that promoting human rights is not just an element of U.S. foreign policy, but a guiding principle. That doesn't mean it always wins, but that is a very important factor. And he should then abide by that principle even when it's politically difficult.
拜登在好莱坞有很多支持者。影星汤姆·汉克斯将于1月20日主持一个黄金时段的电视特别节目，庆祝拜登就任美国总统。这个时长90分钟的特别节目以庆祝美国为主题，邀请了很多娱乐界的明星亮相，拜登和哈里斯也将发表讲话，美国传统主流电视网将会直播， YouTube 和脸书等社交媒体平台也将同步直播。美国之音新闻报道。
当选总统拜登1月20号宣誓就任总统当天，将会运用入主白宫后的权力发布12项行政令，改变特朗普政府的政策。拜登上星期三计划宣布美国重新加入巴黎气候协议，撤销针对多个以穆斯林人口为主的国家实施的旅行禁令，延长联邦学生贷款支付的暂停时间，停止驱逐和取消抵押品赎回权，以及在跨州旅行时和在联邦物业内强制戴口罩等，所有举措都是他曾经宣布过的。这些措施当中大多数不需要国会来采取行动，但是拜登将为数百万无证件移民提供公民路径的提案则需要国会的程序。特朗普总统指示政府各部门减少采购中国产品或服务，以减少间谍风险。白宫国家安全顾问奥布莱恩上星期五在声明中说，特朗普指示政府机构进行审查，以最大程度地减少联邦政府对中国商品和服务的采购。一位高层官员说，这样做的目的是要阻止中国试图渗透到美国的 IT 网络。另外，白宫上周宣布设立国家人工智能倡议办公室，这是特朗普行政当局为确保美国在人工智能领域领先地位，统筹政府与私营部门协作的又一举措。特朗普在其任内届满前不到一周所采取的这些做法，被认为是针对中国的一系列举措当中的最新动作，以锁定对北京采取强硬的姿态。据《纽约时报》报道，几名香港民主抗争者经由台湾抵达美国寻求庇护。美国的港人组织香港民主委员会1月15号发声明宣布，一群年轻的香港抗争者在经历了艰苦而危险的寻求自由之旅之后到达了美国。这份声明没有提及台湾，也没有说明抵达美国寻求庇护的抗争者人数。不过该委员会总监朱慕明在声明中说，这些抗争者均在30岁以下，参加了香港仍在进行中的民主抗争活动，面临与抗争活动有关的逮捕和指控，并于去年7月乘船逃离香港。声明表示，欢迎香港民主抗争者来到美国，会协助他们寻求庇护和展开新的生活。另外一方面，卡马拉·哈里斯本周三将和当选总统拜登一道宣誓就职，美国将出现历史上首位女性副总统。对于现年56岁的哈里斯来说，他在职业生涯中已经有过多次打破玻璃天花板的经历，请看报道。
But while I may be the first woman in this office, I will not be the last.
卡马拉·哈里斯对于创造历史并不陌生，她曾经是加州旧金山市第一位黑人女性地区检察官，后来又成为加州首位黑人女性总检察长。2016年，她当选为加州历史上第一位黑人联邦参议员。今年56岁的哈里斯出生于加州奥克兰市的移民家庭，母亲是来自印度的生物学家，父亲是来自牙买加的经济学教授。哈里斯曾经在首都华盛顿的霍华德大学主修政治和经济学，其后又在加州大学哈斯汀法学院获得法学博士学位。霍华德大学是一座以非裔学生为主体的高等学府。
At this critical time in our country's history, when the demographics of the country are changing so much, and there's so much partisan fighting on Capitol Hill in our government and in the state governments, for that matter, to know that someone that a Howard graduate is right there, you know, leading our country and going to help deal with our coronavirus. pandemic, not just for America, but for the world. It's just, you know, really very exciting.
2020年5月，黑人乔治·弗洛伊德之死在美国各地引发了针对种族歧视和警察过度执法的抗议活动。正在竞选的哈里斯也参加了示威游行。
We are in the midst of a long overdue reckoning on racial injustice in America.
作为拜登的副总统搭档，哈里斯的选战也不乏争议。有人批评他在担任地区检察官和加州总检察长期间执法理念过于强硬，也有人指出他担任参议员未满一任，履历略显单薄。但是支持者相信，哈里斯的人生经历和职业背景将成为下届政府的宝贵资源。
It's important that there be someone who is a counselor to the president, who can provide honest and direct feedback and guidance with regard to issues of opportunity and inclusion and justice. And I think that she will be able to do that, right? I think she'll be able to explain.The perspectives of a diverse group of African Americans. As you know, we're not a monolith.
本周三，77岁的拜登将成为美国第46任总统。如果四年后拜登不寻求连任，哈里斯很可能是下届总统的热门人选。这将使他有机会创造更多历史。美国之音，电视新闻。
在政权交接前的最后一周，副总统彭斯多次对军队表达了慰问。上星期五，彭斯在西弗吉尼亚州出席了已故传奇飞行员、退役空军准将叶格的纪念活动。星期六，彭斯现身位于加州的勒莫尔海军航空站，在对驻地士兵讲话时提到了特朗普政府任内在外交和军事上的各项成就。在此之前，他也曾慰问进驻首都华盛顿的国民警卫队士兵，表示美国将在政权交接后继续前进。
在政权交接前的最后一周，副总统彭斯多次对军队表达了慰问。上周五，彭斯在西弗吉尼亚州出席了已故空军准将查克·叶格的纪念活动。查克·叶格是美军拥有王牌飞行员称号的二战英雄，并在1947年成为首个实现超音速飞行的驾驶员。他于上个月去世，享年97岁。
Like so many of our greatest heroes, he seemed like an ordinary American kid. But in time, he became the greatest military aviator in history.
随后，彭斯副总统于周六现身位于加州的勒莫尔海军航空站。他在对驻地士兵讲话时提到了特朗普政府任内在外交和军事上的各项成就。
History teaches that weakness arouses evil, and our history has proven that a strong America deters it. Our administration has always understood that if you want peace, prepare for war. With that renewed American strength, we've defended this nation and America's vital national interests around the world.I'm proud to say, with just a few days left in this administration, that this is the first administration in decades not to get America into a new war.
随着1月20日当选总统拜登就职典礼的临近，华盛顿市中心仍保持高度的安全戒备，国会山区域暂停对外开放，周边也布置了众多的栏杆和铁丝网。彭斯副总统在上周对进驻首都的国民警卫队士兵表示慰问，他感谢士兵的服务，并表示就职典礼将顺利举行，美国将迎接新的总统与副总统并继续前进。美国之音新闻报道。
1月20号，前副总统拜登将宣誓就任美国第46任总统。每隔四年，美国人就会停下来进行这种和平的权力交接，这是美国民主的有力象征。来看记者梅克瓦的报道。
I have yet to solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States
and will to the best of my ability
preserve, protect, and defend
the Constitution of the United States.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Mr. President.
总统宣誓就职日是对美国持久自治理想的肯定。新领导人通过宣誓就职获得了所领导民众同意的执政权。
Let us shape the hope of this day into the noblest chapter in our history.
新任总统上任伊始发表演讲，为未来四年确定基调。
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
It's a real opportunity for American renewal. It is the first time that the president introduces himself as president to the nation. And he will never have that opportunity again to do that. So it's a very important moment in American history.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
无论是罗纳德·里根呼吁限制联邦权力，或是美国第一位黑人总统就职典礼，有时候就职典礼超越了这一时刻本身。
They live on in national memory because they speak to something more fundamental about the country and about the period in which it is passing.
这也可能是象征性手段的时候。1809年，詹姆斯·麦迪逊确保了他所有就职典礼装束都在美国制造。德怀特·艾森豪威尔1953年的就职游行展示了美国的军事实力。
In 1865, Lincoln's second inauguration, he invited African Americans to participate in the inaugural parade for the first time. In 1917, the second inauguration of Woodrow Wilson,Women participated in the inaugural parade for the first time.
威廉·亨利·哈里斯1841年的就职典礼是最悲惨的。这位时任总统年龄68岁，比前任都年长。他在寒冷天气中发表了有史以来最长的一个多小时的演说。
He wanted to prove that he was vigorous and that he was up for the job as president.
哈里森当天晚上病倒。一个月后去世，他是历史上任期最短的美国总统。就职典礼历经多年，已经从简单的形式发展为盛典。电视的诞生使视觉感受更加重要，而这项越来越繁重的工作可能也是一个因素。
As the duties and responsibilities of the president has grown, I think we've seen the inaugurals take on a larger than life atmosphere with the parties.
就职典礼就是在庆祝美国民主的持久力。美国之音梅克瓦华盛顿报道。
美国第十八位贸易代表莱特希泽由特朗普总统任命，被赋予捍卫美国工业免受不公平贸易惯例侵害的重任，上任至今完成了美中第一阶段贸易协议的成功谈判。对中国态度强硬的莱特希泽主张美国应加大贸易保护力度并提高关税作为谈判手段，同时抨击中国利用国家资本主义以及窃盗科技等作弊方式来赢得市场。莱特希泽曾担任里根政府时期的美国副贸易代表，期间曾经迫使日本接受钢铁以及汽车出口的限制。来看记者刘恩宁的报道。
We are involved in a very difficult trade struggle, which I think is extremely important to the U.S. economy, and that is whether or not we're going to protect our intellectual property and the jobs of the future, and even our current jobs. And it's impossible to predict when that will be resolved, but I think it is such an important issue. It's one that not only do we have to engage in, but should have been engaged in for decades before. And it was to the shame of all the people who had who had these kinds of jobs, and I would say members as well as us, that we have not focused on this issue enough. But since China joined the WTO, we've lost 5 million manufacturing jobs and millions of additional jobs. And it would distress me if that was the result of economic forces. But it's not the result of economic forces. It's the result of state capitalism. We can compete with anyone in the world, but we must have rules, enforced rules, that make sure market outcomes, not state capitalism and technology theft, determine winners. I don't know if it'll get them to stop cheating tariffs alone. I think you don't have any other option. I know one thing that won't work, and that is talking to them, because we've done that for 20 years, and I know you agree with me on that. So if we don't get an agreement, and then we have to do something. And if there's a better idea than tariffs, I'd like to hear it. I haven't heard it. But I do know that you and I agree that just chatting with them in a dialogue is not going to get them to change, because that's been proven to be unsuccessful. I'm not Pollyanna. I don't believe that this is going to solve all the problems between the United States and China. We have very different systems. They're in a process of reform, or they're not. Depends on who you talk to. If they're in a process of reform, we'll make headway. If they're not, we're going to go right back to having problems.
感谢您收看今天的美国观察，祝您有愉快的一天，我们明天见。
Great powers typically seek preeminence within the established order. But China is a revisionist power. China seeks to transform the international order in a way to serve its authoritarian interests and its authoritarian goals. The regime is one party, repressive rule, informed by the principles of Marxism-Leninism. How do we know? Because the Chinese Communist Party repeatedly tells us that. Their rule is characterized by disinformation, indoctrination, repression of religious and ethnic minorities. For example, 1 million Uyghurs in re-education camps, subjugation of Tibetans, oppression of ethnic Mongolians in the north, and oppression of some 70 million Christians. There's also their conduct abroad. It's the crushing of freedom in Hong Kong, the threatening of Taiwan, the claims in blatant contradiction of international law to control vast areas of the South China Sea and beyond. The schemes of economic coercion and control, not only in the Indo-Pacific, China's neighborhood, but in every region of the world, you can see these patterns of conduct. Their efforts to transform international organizations from within, to make them more friendly, to China's authoritarian norms and goals. We shouldn't also neglect China's determination, in its language, to build a world-class military to rival and ultimately surpass the United States.